Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Pluto TV is the new leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 TV channels, thousands of movies on demand, all for free. There's no credit card needed, no sign-up required. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies. So what are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again. Pluto TV is free on all your favorite devices. Download Pluto TV today.
Your life, your country. You're listening to the Laura Ingraham Podcast.
Oh, it's good to be back on the Laura Ingraham Podcast and glad you're joining us. Oh, we have a lot to get to. The cancellation boycott culture, which is just, it's revealing about the left. The intolerant, supposedly the most compassionate, though, caring people on the face of the planet who cannot take what they dish out in any way, shape, or form. Anytime they're criticized, they play the victim card. Anytime they're criticized, they claim one of the isms, as it were. It can't be just humor. It has to be they're a victim because they grew up being told they're victims, most of these folks. And they've been, you know, marinating in this victimhood culture for decades. And look, we as a society tolerated this, allowed this. It used to be buck up, life's tough, no one, not everyone's going to like you. Do the right thing and you'll be okay. Now it's, oh, what can we do for you? You'll be okay. And then there are true victims out there, people who are victims of violence or true abuse. And, you know, those people oftentimes are just ignored or dismissed unless it's, you know, a mass shooting. And then their violence in that case will be used to try to go for, you know, your Second Amendment rights or maybe your rights to freely associate. Or other protected rights. But in general, the people who are true victims, they don't really get the attention or the consideration from the in crowd, whether in Hollywood or the elites in politics or business. But everybody's a victim. If you want to go through your life that way of considering yourself to be either a victim or a potential victim every step of your life, then you will feel like a victim. You'll feel like a victim and you'll be in part victimizing yourself. And it's the old adage, you know, don't let anyone else define you. And the left is supposed to believe that, but they don't, not sure they really do believe that in the end. But I think it puts our kids in a very difficult position in schools because everybody's a victim. You're a victim, she's a victim, and everyone's walking around afraid to say anything for fear that someone will write something about them that claims that they're this, even though they're not. They're a racist, they're anti-gay, and in fact, they're not. Maybe they're just Christian and they believe a certain thing, or maybe they're just came from a traditional family, or maybe they just don't really know the issue and they popped off once. And that's going to ruin their whole life? That's a lot of pressure on people never to make a mistake, never to step on a rhetorical landmine, be so careful that you're basically like all you can say to people is, hey, how's it going? What's going on? Good? Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. That's really cool. Awesome. You're great. I'm great. Everything's great. Well, no, it's not always great. So no one's really being honest. I think there's a lot of it's my truth. I'm speaking my truth. There's no objective truth. Western civilization is just some other. It's just a civilization. There's nothing so great about that. Oh, by the way, I'm gonna mention this because it just popped into my mind. I was away with some friends over the weekend, and I was up in Martha's Vineyard. Okay, speaking of elites, I know I'm talking about the elites, and I go to Martha's Vineyard. Okay, you can all laugh at me, but anyway, these are really good friends, and it was like the end of the summer, kind of blowout. It was fun. And we went to Mass on Sunday, and it's an old church on the island. They have three different churches, but this priest, who, you know, it's one of these churches with the screens and guitars. Like, I'm not into the guitar Mass. And I know you shouldn't even worry about it. It's just you're there and you're praying. This is not up with people. This is not a a Christian rock concert. Okay, this is mass, supposed to be a sense of reverence, and so I don't like that right off the bat. Okay, I'm not happy about this right off the bat. Screens on both sides of the altar, well, to the extent there even is an altar. The big words, in case you don't know the things you're supposed to have learned in catechism, the words are like in 100-point font. And the priest gets up there. I'm always looking forward to the homily. You know, inspiration gets me thinking. And he gets up there and he says, it was a gospel on humility. He gets up there and he says, you know, the way things are today, and anytime they say that, you know, it's not going to be a traditional message. Well, you know, with everything that's going on today, I was just waiting for it. Here goes a hit on Trump. You know, all this talk about America first, like you can't say America, you know, America first means other people should be last or they're not first. And the gospel is the first shall be last. First of all, that's an individual. That's an exhortation to the individual. It's not an exhortation to a country. This is not a geopolitical strategy document, the gospel, right? So I hear that and I think you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. And you know, really, this whole thing about being first or being best. Oh, no. So, of course, after Mass, I always tell the kids to thank the priest and all lined up and ready. Everyone's rushing out to go to brunch. They leave early. We stay to the last verse of the last song and walk out and I say, Father, shook his hand probably a little too long, maybe slightly too hard. No, not slightly too hard. This is like, I just felt like I had to say something. And so I said, Father, I said, it was great to be at Mass and thank you for, you know, being a priest and trying to lead the flock. I said, I got to say one thing, though. There's a big line behind me. Your criticism of America first, I didn't like that. That was like, clearly you're going after Trump. I said, doesn't the Catholic Church have enough trouble, like, attracting people these days without already pushing people away with half the country who likes Trump? And I said, plus, if we're not number one, how are we going to help all these other countries? Because last time I checked, for the last 80 years, we've been helping countries more than any country in the face of the planet. So I don't really like this whole thing about, oh, no, I got to start. And the more I talk, he's looking at me like, how do I get her out of this line? And then I said, but thank you very much for being here and being a priest, and we really appreciate it. But I just thought you might want to hear what someone else has to say. And he didn't say it. He was like, basically, mm-hmm, like that. He didn't say anything. That just drove me nuts. But it's this mentality that that being number one means that you're creating other victims. No, we're not. We just believe that freedom and independence and sovereignty and our declaration and how we struggled as a people through all our ups and downs to become the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Now we got to keep our freedom. But that's an amazing story. And that's a story of a people who struggled against all odds to become number one. There's nothing wrong with that. So do you see what I'm saying?
Well, I got to tell you, when I first moved to D.C. in 2017, I was looking for a Catholic church to go to. It took me forever to find one. I had to go to Arlington to find one wasn't every single day subtly bashing Trump.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It was all about how we got to help the undocumented immigrants.
Oh, no, that was every a big part single of it. The thing. Refugees, yes. This. Okay, yeah, we get it. And again, it's so obvious what the church is doing. I mean, And Pope Francis, obviously, God bless him, but he's very liberal, extremely liberal, and you know, it's all reverberating through the entire church. It's depressing. I've got to say, it's really depressing. But you know, we do what we can do. You know, love the gospel, love the Eucharist, try to be better. Fall down every week, try to be better. Get up, try to be better. So we shouldn't try to be best, I guess. And I thought of poor Melania's Be Best campaign. I guess that's out the window, too. Be best. You can't be best. All right. I want to thank all of our sponsors, ADT Home Security, Genucel, NetSuite, Pluto TV. They, among others, help provide this podcast to you free every week. So anyway, that was on my mind. I wanted to share that with you. And again, it's a beautiful weekend, so much fun. We all had a blast. Good blowout into summer. It was fun. But I didn't like that at all. That did not. And I got to tell you, even among the liberal elites up there, boy, I found a lot of Trump supporters. Oh, there's like, are you buying a house up here? Are you doing it? Like, are you coming up here? No comment. Like, are you coming? Like, because they've seen me a lot there this summer. And I thought, well, I just like to mix it up, like to come see how the swells live. But there are a lot of people up there might not say it, but they're going to vote for Trump. It's very interesting. And they're not thrilled about what happens every time Obama comes into town. I will say that. The whole town changes, blah, blah, blah. Not as bad as Clinton, who basically owned the whole place when he was there. Obamas are a little more of homebodies, which is kind of cool. All right. Cancel culture. We said we'd talk about this. Michelle Malkin's also going to join us. I just got her new book, by the way. It's awesome. Oh, my gosh. It's all about the basically open borders disaster that's befallen our country. The Dave Chappelle special on Netflix. A lot of you may get Netflix. You don't even know who Dave Chappelle is. Okay, I'll tell you who he is. He's a liberal. He's not a conservative. This is not my type of humor in general because it's a lot of foul-mouthed humor, which I'm just sick of that whole. It's the easiest, cheapest humor. The reason we're playing this is because an African-American comic who decides there are no sacred cows out there, just because you call yourself a victim, I'm going to make fun of you for being, you know, playing the victim card, or I'm going to make fun of the ridiculous politically correct culture. But he's not a conservative, okay? They still want him shut down, the Hollywood left. They're the most intolerant people around. This is the beginning. Well, this is one part of the Dave Chappelle special that they're telling everybody not to watch.
I want to see if you can guess who it is I'm doing an impression of. All right, let me get into character. You got to guess who it is, though. Okay, here it goes. If you do anything wrong in your life, and I find out about it, I'm going to try to take everything away from you. And I don't care what I find out. It could be today, tomorrow, 15, 20 years from now. If I find out, you're fucking finished. Who's that? That's you. That's what the audience sounds like to me.
Really not the audience. That was the wrong line for him. I thought at first it sounds very, before he said duh, or I thought it was like Jake Tapper. I mean, who is it? Or, but Jake is pretty smart. He's pretty well spoken. He went on to say that this is a little shorter, but he went on to say this.
No matter what they say or how they make you feel, remember, this is your country too. It is incumbent upon us to save our country. And you know what we have to do. This is a fucking election year. We gotta be serious. Every able-bodied African American must register for a legal firearm.
You can't really tell. Is he anti-Trump for Trump? I don't know. Probably anti. I don't know. You can't really tell.
Yeah, he doesn't talk about Trump in the special really at all.
No.
He just rails against the culture.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Let's listen.
Celebrity hunting season. Doesn't matter what I say, they're going to get everybody eventually. Like, look, I don't think I did anything wrong, but we'll see. They even got poor Kevin Hart. Can you imagine such a thing? Kevin Hart, let me tell you something. It was Kevin Hart's dream to host the Oscars. That's what he told me. And I remember when he told me, because I was thinking to myself, well, that's an awfully strange dream for an African-American. And I don't know what you know about Kevin, but I know Kevin Hart is damn near perfect. As close to perfect as anybody I've ever seen. In fact, Kevin is precisely 4 tweets shy of being perfect. The gay community was upset, and then they put so much pressure on the Academy of Motion Pictures and Sciences that they went to Kevin and said, if you don't apologize to that community, then you cannot host these Oscars. And then Kevin said, fuck it, I quit. And then he went on every talk show in America and apologized for 6 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I look back on like Don Rickles and all these old comedians long gone now, and I think everyone was fair game. Nobody was off limits, really. I mean, I guess you kind of didn't criticize the Pope or Billy Graham or, you know, there's a few people, but it was just everybody was not so sensitive about every little slight and every. I said this in an angle once, maybe it was 6 months ago. Liberals have become the biggest killjoys ever. They used to be for free love, you know, love, peace. And they're really not. The conservatives are much more fun. I'm sorry. They are, unless your idea of fun is just to do a ton of drugs. I'm not saying conservatives never do drugs. I'm just saying a ton of drugs and just get blotto and like post selfies on Instagram. Okay, if that's your idea of fun, they're the liberals. But if you're always ready to be the next victim or to create a narrative that hurts somebody else, like their livelihood, that's a weird way to live. It's a strange, and there are people in workplaces like that who, you know, are people just, and you can see them a mile away or spot them a mile away. People are trying to, oh, how we can sue someone, get a quick pay. But that's the culture we've created. That's the mindset we've, it's not about hard work. Do hard work. Some things will work out. Some things won't. Keep working till I do better. It's how can I get what you have without doing any of the work? Isn't that wild? I mean, it's so foreign. It's such a foreign concept to me. It's not how I was raised. Joining us now, I'm delighted she's with us, Michelle Malkin. She's a conservative blogger, syndicated columnist, author of the upcoming book. I just got it, by the way, over the weekend. This is a substantial book. You can order it, pre-order it now. A great book. Oh, my gosh. I just started flipping through it. Open Borders, Inc. Who's Funding America's Destruction? Oh, it's chilling. It's really good. Anyway, you can get it on pre-order now. We'll have it on Facebook so you can, you know, just pick it. I like getting stuff early. I like pre-ordering because otherwise I forget it and I got five other things I got to do. So just pre-order it now. Open Borders, Inc. Michelle Malkin was also mixing it up over the weekend. She's going to tell us about that. I saw some photos on Twitter. Michelle's always ready to rumble. She joins us now. Michelle, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you so much, Laura. And this is great timing for us because I just finished watching the Chappelle special.
Oh, my gosh. What do you make of him? I mean, I've got to confess, I watch no TV, so I really am not into the – I really just – it's kind of pathetic, but I'm just kind of retreated from a lot of the culture. I'm watching like old Dean Martin roasts. That's how pathetic I am. I'm not the most uncool person ever, but that's okay. That's kind of where I am right now. I watched it too. And I mean, boy, if you even skate close to the sacred cows, they'll open up the ice on you. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've followed his career he's been around for 20 years. Mm-hmm. He's been doing the same thing, skewering sacred cows, whether they be racial or class, going after the elites in politics and Hollywood, even in his own business. And, it was interesting because the clip you played where he turned it around and said that the cancel culture and the mob was the audience, that has a backstory, of course, because there have been many times where he's been booed off the stage, and in particular, his outspokenness about what we call the Me Too culture, but from a long time back, he has been labeled a so-called victim blamer because he has never swallowed the entire feminist agenda whole. He's really interesting. I mean, if you had any label for him at all, it would be that he's a free thinker. Mm. And how pathetic is it in Hollywood that there are so few of them that when one of them does an hour-long set, there's a thirst for it. And I guess what's most shocking is that Netflix actually ran with it. But, you know, they're a business. They get it, I guess.
Yeah, well, the Obamas are there with their, what's their deal? $100 million or something?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, because they're well-known for their nonfiction. I mean, their fictional work and their screenwriting. Yeah. Let's be honest about why the Obamas got their big contract. It's just like, check the box. All your friends influence all the right people. So I want to play a longer version of what he was getting into on the gender-bending phenomenon in the United States. Let's listen.
I feel bad for T's. But they're so confusing. And it's not all my fault. I feel like they need to take some responsibility for my jokes. Because I didn't come up with this idea on my own. This idea that a person can be born in the wrong body. But they have to admit, that's a fucking hilarious predicament. If it happened to me, you'd laugh, wouldn't you? That wouldn't be funny if it happened to me? I think it would be. What if it did? What if I was Chinese, but born in this body? That's not funny. And for the rest of my life, I had to go around making that face. Hey, everybody, I'm Chinese! And everyone get mad. Stop making that face. That's offensive. What? This is how I feel inside.
Listen to that. People were screaming laughing. I mean, they do the cutaways to the audience, and it's because he's daring to do what, like in the 70s, Richard Pryor did all this comedy that no one had done before. George Carlin before him, Lenny Bruce. Everybody was breaking new ground, Michelle. But now this is kind of old ground, going back to just, you know, again, what Don Rickles and all the great comics always did.
Yes, that's right. It is a throwback. It's refreshing. And the bit goes on to talk about all of the alphabet people, he calls them, riding in the same car.
It's
fantastic. He went after Jussie Smollett, who he calls Jussie Smollier.
Y'all never heard of Jussie Smollier? Jussie Smollier is an actor from France. And he became famous on a show called Empire. One night, he was in Chicago late at night and was the victim of a racist and homophobic attack. You see, Jussie Smollett is gay, and he is black, not just French.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, right? He says what people think. He's brilliant. He's got an incredible backstory. When he talked about growing up poor and having his father just giving him, you know, a reality check smack in the head about that, he's a fascinating human being. And I hope he doesn't fall prey to the cancel culture.
Yeah, well, I think that he's now, I mean, he made so much money on the circuit, and he's like, it reminds me of like Jordan, you know, Jordan Peterson's this very unassuming, kind of geeky guy, and his message is very kind of, I don't know, to some extent it's a little obvious, like make your bed, like, but men are just so desperate to have someone tell them it's okay to be a man. It's okay to be, you know, feel like you want to be protective. It's okay to be, you know, try to feel like you're chivalrous or courageous, or they don't know what to be at all. So they're looking, especially young men, are looking for validation to be men. And I think all these people are just looking for some path forward that seems to make some sense. Don't you get that? Get that idea, Michelle?
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's good to talk about Jordan Peterson in this context because, yes, it seems obvious. It's okay to be a man. It's okay to be white. And it's okay to laugh.
Yeah, at whatever you find funny. I mean, it's like my truth. Why, don't you love Michelle? My truth. That's my truth. Our truth. Michelle and I have had our own truth for decades, and our truth never matters. In fact, it's just hateful and awful. So our truth is the worst. Now, Michelle, what were you up to this weekend? I saw like quick images. Was there some Antifa thing going on? Were people attacking you? What was happening?
So what we did in Aurora, Colorado, which is right around Denver, is about 200 fellow patriots and I gathered at the ICE facility that had been targeted by the Antifa mob a couple of months ago. And those pictures went viral of an American flag being torn down and the Mexican flag being raised above this ICE facility. Mm. I had toured the ICE facility a couple of weeks ago and was able to see for myself with my own eyes that the lies that have been told about this facility and many like it all across the country are doing incredible damage to the men and women who work inside them. They've been doxxed. They've been threatened. Their families live in fear now. They literally have targets on their back, and we wanted to show our support. Well, there were about a half dozen noisy Antifa light thugs who came to try to disrupt our peaceful protest. One of them tried to smack me in the head with her abolish ICE sign.
What?
There were minority conservatives and Trump supporters who had showed up who were called all sorts of nasty epithets. We saw the true face of the liberal racists who populate this movement. But otherwise, we were the ones that were peaceful. There was nothing to fear from us. And unfortunately, the Aurora Police Department, which had been under a stand-down order when the mob appeared there a couple of months ago, blocked us from coming up right in front of the flagpole.
Oh, my. This is...
Yeah.
I mean, can you give us a sneak peek of the book? That little teaser, because people are going to pre-order it now. But give us a little bit of what you've uncovered in your research about who is driving this mass hysteria at the border, which is a little smaller of a flow, less of a flow, but it's still 80,000 people a month. Last time I checked, it's a lot of people.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. You know, let alone all the people who are already here, upwards of 30 million illegal aliens and refugees who are exploiting the system, asylum fraud recipients as well. The book is really about following the money and finding the truth and connecting the dots. And I can't wait to talk about it more with you next week, Laura, because people will be unsurprised about all of the Soros connections. And I've really drilled down and name hundreds of organizations that are in people's backyards. They have so many different names and iterations that people can't keep track of them. Well, I do. This is really an encyclopedia. There are multiple appendices for people to look up. But I think what's most shocking is the billions of dollars of taxpayer money, our money that's being used to support the Open Borders, Inc. apparatus. And then along with that, all of the charitable funds, and you know well, Laura, that the Catholic Church, the Lutherans, and many of these evangelical organizations are just as culpable as the people on the left for sabotaging our immigration laws.
They're horrible. The Lutheran Church, the Catholic Church, they get hundreds of millions of dollars over the last 10 years to resettle refugees. And I guess they somehow think this is going to be an answer to their, you know, dwindling attendance at Mass. Or I don't know what they think. But it's been an all-out effort, I think, to, you know, obviously resettle people into the country, but also, I think, numb people to the idea that we have a border in flux. Our border is malleable, just like every other value that we used to think was a constant.
Yes, that's right. And I think, in particular, the Stand With ICE movement that I've launched, and I'll be going on tour, a Sanctuary City tour, for the next 3 months.
I love it.
Yes. And we're going to take the kind of rally that we did on Monday to every single city that we're doing, because, you know, you hear it all the time, Laura. There are so many good people out there saying, well, what can I do? Well, you can stop giving your money to all of these open borders sabotaging organizations, and they're all listed in the book. But also, I think we need to have people who are willing to get out on the front lines, because we cannot leave this space unoccupied. I mean, they're only going to ratchet up from now until Election Day. And yes, it does mean taking some risks. I talk about Andy Ngo and what happened in Portland. This is ground zero where the Occupy ICE movement has gotten away. We're not even with a slap on the wrist for shutting down the ICE facility there for almost a week. And people need to, you know, go to the ballot box. It's not just about President Trump. It's about locally, you know, these prosecutors who are looking the other way, the sanctuary anarchists in every major city in America.
Michelle Malkin, I'm just so thrilled that you're bringing more awareness to what has been an absolute, just complete and utter attack on the rule of law, the sense of borders, and just the basic right and wrong. And it's, I mean, there are so few people who are willing to stick their neck out, and you've been doing it for many, many years, and I just appreciate it so much. And before we let you go, the Kate Steinle news over the weekend that the liberal judges again completely disgust us and thwart the rule of law. They even dropped the gun charge against her assailant, who was an illegal immigrant, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, while victims and families of victims of illegal alien crime have no standing in American courts, increasingly illegal aliens and illegal alien repeat criminal offenders are getting their day and getting off. It's largely because of the formation over the last half century of what amounts to an illegal alien lawyers lobby. And I talk about that in the book and trace the roots of that. Soros is only just one small part of it, but pretty much every law school in the country is doing pro bono work on behalf of illegal alien criminals.
Oh my God.
People really need to know about it, and then they need to vote in prosecutors who are actually going to defend the law and protect our country.
Yeah, there was this thing. There's this thing called Casa de Maryland, Casa de Virginia. That group is a horrible group, by the way. They do a lot to send volunteers down there to coach people, and they facilitate, you know, living here illegally. So there's just all these local groups here in the D.C. area that, I mean, of course, tons and tons of illegal immigrants here as well. So I'm sure they made your list somewhere in your book. Well, we're going to talk to you next week about that. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us. It's just awesome, as always, and stay safe out there, as always. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, the summer inventory clearance sale from Chamonix, it's here, and you got to act on this. Right now, when you order Genucel, the jawline treatment, you'll get the classic Genucel for bags and puffiness free. And that means you get it free, meaning F-R-E-E, really free. Beverly from Huntsville, Alabama says, OMG, I love this product. I saw a difference almost immediately. And yeah, I would recommend it to everyone if they have a problem with their jawline. All Genucel products are amazing. They use MDL technology in the proprietary base over at Genucel, and their new jawline treatment specifically targets the delicate skin around your neck or your jaw for tighter, healthier looking skin. And the results are guaranteed. 100% or your money back, no questions asked. And to start seeing results in really quickly, sometimes less than 12 hours or less, the immediate effects is also free. Another product. So you order now, and their legendary collagen builder is also free. So go to Genucel.com. That's Genucel.com. Remember, three free gifts with your order. Limited time only. Go to Genucel.com. They say that home is where the heart is. Well, the reality is that home is where all of your precious belongings are located, where your family lives. So don't you want to protect your most precious investment? So go with the nation's number one smart home security provider, ADT. They provide everything from video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks and lights, all controlled from the ADT app or the sound of your voice. So peace of mind, priceless. So get a custom designed ADT home security system connected to first responders installed in your home today. Safety, security and protection are just a click away. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. We have to get into just a little bit more of this Dave Chappelle special. And part of the reason we do is because it's one of these examples. It's kind of like a Trump analogy. The critics, the elites hated Trump. They said he had no chance. And the people in key states, we have an electoral college, they wanted him. In this case, 99% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which is the, you know, they review movies and TV shows, 99%. The critics give him a 38%. So it's almost basically a third of what the people think about Dave Chappelle's special. And again, this is, I'm not saying that I love everything about this special, but I think Michelle Malkin was right when she said he's challenging the liberal sacred cows. He's getting right in their face. And he said he dares them to try to get him kicked off Netflix.
We were breaking an unwritten and unspoken rule of show business. And if I say it, you'll know that I'm telling you the truth. The rule is that no matter what you do in your artistic expression, you are never, ever allowed to upset the alphabet people. You know who I mean. Those people that took 20% of the alphabet for themselves. I'd say the letters, but I don't want to conjure their anger. It's too late now. I'm talking about them L's and them B's and them G's and the T's.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, that's when he went on to talk about the T's, I guess, transgender. And what if I identified as a Chinese person? But the audience that was there, obviously they paid to see him. I mean, they were just screaming. But I don't know. I guess you can just be a comedian that trashes Trump and makes gross sexual comments. You could do that. People do that. It's not my type of humor. But I feel sorry for this, the younger generation. They'll never know the greats in comedy. Well, you can watch them on YouTube, but there is no new Don Rickles or no new, you know, Richard Pryor. Not really. There's no, all of those, they're all gone. Every single one of them is gone. I mean, Jerry Seinfeld is the closest there is, and
he doesn't do stand-up that much anymore, if at all. He's got that TV show on, I think.
Well,
it's on
he does stand-up. He does some stand-up. He doesn't do stand-up at college campuses. Yeah. Oh, but he still does stand-up. Yeah, he was just at the Kennedy Center, the National Theater here in Washington last year. But look, I think everyone realizes there's a peak. You know, you have a peak, and you then do other things. But there's just not much. There's not much in this culture that you can say, wow, that all brings us together. Oh, wow, that was hilarious. Because it's hilarious to you, then you're a horrible person. Because the other people say, oh, you can't laugh at that. You cannot laugh at that. How dare you laugh at that?
It's hard not to write these jokes. It's hard not to think about. Even when I watch sports, I'd be thinking about. Like think about. Okay, say LeBron James changed his gender. You know what I mean? Okay, can he stay in the NBA? Or, because he's a woman, does he have to go to the WNBA where he will score 840 points a game?
That's really funny. Well, and you had this Montana deal over the weekend where a transgender female runner at the University of Montana who ran freshman year as a man and is a pretty good runner is on hormone suppression for a year and then what goes back to running as a female. And I think there was this big regional meet for a bunch of different colleges, and the transgender runner, again biologically born a male, finished in seventh overall, second I think in his or her event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's very complicated. It's very hard, I think, for young women today when, you know, you're competing against biological women and then a man comes in who either identifies as or has gone through hormone therapy and is running with a different body structure, wider shoulders, bigger internal organs, lungs, heart capacity. Doesn't mean they'll win every race or anything, but it's not easy. Oh, the victim culture, University of Kansas. Well, the school decides to move Chick-fil-A out of the basement to its own above ground location. It's just selling some Chick-fil-A on campus. Oh my gosh, the snowflakes there went nuts. They're like, oh no. We have to put the Chick-fil-A back in the closet or kick them off campus altogether, because Don Cathy, the CEO of Chick-fil-A, gave to Family Research Council or Family Council once, and that council believes in traditional marriage. And again, it's just they're the new blacklisters. They want to blacklist people. And every time they do this, Chick-fil-A opens up 10 more stores. You know, every time they do this, it's just free. No, it's free free advertising for Chick-fil-A. Have you tried the new Popeye sandwich that everyone's going crazy about?
I have not yet. I don't think I've ever been to Popeye's.
I hate this hype about a stupid sandwich. Like, oh, lines up. Someone, like, pulled out a gun?
Yeah. I saw someone try to rob the store to get the sandwiches. One of these days I might try it when it's, you know, the line is short, but I don't see the – I can't imagine it's –
First of all, everyone thinks because they're chicken sandwiches, whether they're Chick-fil-A or anything else, they're more healthier for you. Ha! Really? Have you seen the fat content in the fried chicken sandwiches? They're horrible for you. Oh, boy, they taste good. But anything fried tastes good. So I have another – all the victims, Snowflakes, University of Kansas. And then this poor advisor at the Department of Labor – Leif Olson, never heard of him. His story starts circulating. Some Bloomberg. Vicious viper at
Bloomberg.
Bloomberg mm-hmm. decides he's going to get this kid fired. The kid actually posted something that was satirizing. Was it anti-Semites or the alt-right
yeah,
or something?
It was when Paul Nealon, the guy in Wisconsin, primaried Paul Ryan and lost by like 80 points or something.
Yeah,
like
oh,
that.
The one they thought I was a big supporter of, right? Because someone put a graphic up on the screen with his name on it.
Yes.
I never met Paul. If he came up to me on the street, I wouldn't know who Paul Nealon is. Yeah. Never heard of him. I mean, I'd heard of him generally. Like, if you asked me, I'd have to think about it. But they did the same thing to me. It was like, you had a graphic up of a alt-right supremacist. I'm like, I don't even know this guy.
Yeah, exactly. Mentioning his name now, apparently.
Just mentioning his name at all or putting a graphic. I didn't even mention his name. So anyway, so he had posted something ridiculing him?
Yeah, posted a couple of years ago during that 2016 election for the primary for Paul Ryan. And he gets this reporter found it.
Yeah.
It's obviously sarcastic, but you know,
Why did the Trump administration request his resignation?
Yeah, that's what people are wondering right now. What's going on? Why
Trump's got to bring the guy back, bring him to the White House and mm-hmm. say, we won't put up with this. This is another version of the cancel culture. It's another iteration of it, I should say. You're listening to the Laura Ingraham Podcast. Delighted you're with us, as always. And by the way, if you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. If you're in a business, small, medium-sized business, obviously a large business, you can have a hodgepodge of business systems trying to manage your product, your marketing, your payroll. Well, you need one system for accounting, another for sales, inventory. It's just a big, inefficient mess, and you know what I'm talking about. Well, guess what? NetSuite by Oracle. It's a business management software program that handles every aspect of your business in a really easy-to-use cloud platform. And it gives you the visibility and control that you need in order to grow your business. And with NetSuite, you save time, money, and unneeded headaches. You manage sales, finance, accounting, orders, HR, all of it instantly, right from your desktop or your phone even. This is incredible. This is where technology is just amazing. And right now, NetSuite is offering you valuable insights with a free guide, 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profit, at netsuite.com/Ingraham. It's the number one cloud business system in the world. So go to netsuite.com/Ingraham. Go to netsuite.com/Ingraham and remember, download your free guide, 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profits at netsuite.com/Ingraham.
Trade with China is very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think that we've got to do something about it. And we've needed to do something about it for some time. The problem is that the president's trade strategy is chaotic. It's more for headlines than for a strategic, steady trade strategy.
What's Debbie Dingell know what she's talking about? Why is this chaotic? Our economy is the best in the world. We've had some slowdown in manufacturing, but it's either us or China. We all know that now. Even people who don't like Trump are saying that. Even while 63% of registered voters say that the tariffs imposed on Chinese products hurt the U.S. more than China. By the way, that's not true, but again, that's bad media coverage. Even with that bad media coverage and incorrect viewpoint, 67% said that it's necessary to confront China over its trade practices, which Trump and, of course, all of us who know this issue have deemed unfair. So he has strong support when it comes to standing up to China. Now, they realize the tariffs may have some negative impacts, but they believe the fight in this case is the right one. I think the president can take it up a notch against China, frankly. I've said this before, but I think he's kind of a moderate on this issue. Christian Witten is former State Department senior advisor, both Trump and Bush administrations. And now he's at the Center for National Interest. As we see, finally, this Carrie Lam, this Hong Kong leader, withdrew this extradition bill, which sparked all these protests. And he joins us now. Christian, how are you? Good to talk to you.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Christian, a lot of people think, oh, why do we care about what happens in Hong Kong? Why does this matter? Why is this relevant to us? Why is it relevant?
Well, two reasons. One is you have people who are, you know, fighting for their own freedom and taking serious risks. And I think Americans always want to root for people to do that. But more to the point, I think it's you have, you know, people causing political trouble for our chief adversary in the world. This is the government that, for the first time of any president, that our president has called them an enemy, an adversary, if you will. The Xi Jinping, who only crowned himself emperor 2 years ago after the party congress in 2017, was supposed to open up this great new era in China under his supreme power, and he's running into economic trouble. The president is causing him a great deal of trouble with trade, thankfully, and now he has political trouble in Hong Kong, so I think that's something we'd like to cheer on.
Yeah, and I would also think that it would be good for the Trump administration to be more vocal on the human rights abuses in China. And I think beginning a strategy of gradual decoupling the United States' key interests from the Chinese, given that we know their goal is world domination at any cost, my view is, why try to trade with them at all? Why don't we treat them like we treat, we treated the former Soviet Union?
I would be in favor of that, but I think we're heading in that direction anyway. I mean, after all, it seems like the Chinese are their own worst enemy. President Trump has leaned over backwards to try to get them to a deal on trade, but he has insisted that it be a real deal, not just a photo op foreign policy of his many predecessors on China who are happy to go and accept insincere promises and then allow China just to break all the rules. He's really tried to hold them to that. But, you know, if they're unwilling to do that, and I think they have real problems, because to enact the reforms that we need to see, Xi Jinping, the Chinese leader, would have to disempower all of the people who keep him in power. So I think you're going to see this decoupling mainly because the Chinese just can't bring themselves to reform. And on human rights, I agree with you as well. I do think that the president, he runs the U.S. government, not a human rights NGO, but on Hong Kong, he has said he wants to see things go in a humane direction. He said clearly it'll be very hard to do a trade deal if they do a Tiananmen-style invasion or other violence. It's sort of the contrast between George Bush and other presidents who talked a big game about human rights and a freedom agenda, but then Bush went in the administration, which I served, went to Beijing, refused to meet with any dissidents, just went for the Olympics. So here's a sports fan, whereas Trump has really, I think, put the fear of God into the tyrants around the world.
Yeah, I think, and again, we have to look at the world the way it is, not the way we would, the experts told us it was going to be 20 years ago when China entered the WTO. I mean, they said this was going to happen. Well, it didn't happen. Actually, China got more powerful and bought a lot of guns and spread its influence all over the world. They said, well, they'd be more open and human rights and abide by these rules. Well, it turns out they flout the rules, dump excess product all over the world, put our steel manufacturers, 17 of the 20 of them, we used to be in the top, in the top 20, and we have maybe 3 or 4 left. Like, all these things have happened, and you would never know it listening to some of these Wall Street types that just want to go back to the old days. Those days are over.
Right, and my friend Peter Navarro at the White House talks about the 7 deadly sins that China does, and these have gotten out of control since China was in the WTO. Stop stealing our intellectual property, stop forcing technology transfers, stop hacking our computers, stop dumping into our markets, you mentioned steel, that put our companies out of business, and stop these state-owned enterprises, which are subsidized, again, the people who keep Xi Jinping in power, and then ideally, hey, stop killing us with fentanyl, stop trying to run an opium war in reverse. And then there's the currency manipulation. All of that has gotten much worse. We have a deficit in goods with China of about $400 billion. That's $400 billion that gets shipped to China every year. You know, you look and you see they have these gleaming new infrastructure, beautiful airports, and ours are absolutely terrible. Well, that is a consequence of the capital flight that occurs from these horrible trade deals that we have around the world. But hopefully, just one other point on the WTO, just a litany of broken promises. China was supposed to do all of these wonderful things if we just let them into this. And then Hong Kong also reminds us they've broken promises. They promised a high degree of autonomy to Hong Kong. They promised a road to democracy with universal suffrage. This came out of the 1984 agreement with the Brits. And the basic law that they started in with the handover in 97, they broke those promises too. They broke the promises to Obama about not waging cyber warfare and stealing our intellectual property and not militarizing the South China Sea. So, you know, why should we accept their promises now on trade?
Wow, I couldn't have said it better myself. Christian, thank you so much. We'll check back with you soon, as this issue is not going away anytime soon. Certainly it's going to be critical in the upcoming election. I want to thank all of our sponsors here on the Laura Ingraham Podcast, including Genucel, ADT Home Security, NetSuite, and Pluto TV. You help provide this podcast free to our listeners all around the world every week, and we just adore you. So thank you so much, and support these great sponsors as well. Remember, America now and forever on the Laura Ingraham Podcast. See you next time.